Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
Wish it was Sunday.
Another pleasant valley Sunday.
Sunday came, trashed me out again.
Wake up!
Good morning, and we're in trouble.
Life, health, home, travel, and more. Life Matters, brought to you by Mercy Health, a passion for making lives better.
Is the laugh button working?
Good, all right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Life Matters is on your radio, Lake 96.1.
Welcome to Life Matters. Boy,
good morning.
You've had the...
been a week.
You've had the couple weeks,
two weeks.
Yeah. So
it's crazy.
How's life with all the new lives in your life?
Well, life at the house is, well, I feel like I'm on third shift again.
I bet.
Yeah.
So let's explain. So you have a new puppy.
Yes, we have a new puppy, Wolfgang.
Wolfgang.
He's a male German Shepherd. Just almost 10 weeks old,
mm-hmm.
9 weeks on Tuesday. He's been a good dog, but he's a puppy, and
yeah,
he doesn't sleep all night.
No.
So neither does
like
Tom
babies.
Or Amy.
Right.
It's nice to have Amy home, because she was on vacation when the day after I brought him home, she went on vacation. And so he was all mine, and I didn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
It was, but anyway, he was new to the house, so it was rough. Well, now it's kind of taking turns, but I will say... we're almost to a full night's sleep.
Wow.
He's not, the last couple of days, he's been getting up around 4:30. So
that's not
that's
bad.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
Well, he's asleep now in the chair next to you.
He is. But more importantly, we have a new grandchild.
Wait a minute.
Mara.
Wait a minute. A new
granddaughter.
Yes.
Yes, which means none of us exist anymore.
Nope.
Only she does.
That's true. I am, yes, you can ask, yes.
Oh, yeah.
My daughters are now referred to as my grandchildren's mothers.
Yeah, those guys.
Right, you with the face.
Yeah.
Where's your baby?
Well, Amy is totally focused. She's been wanting a daughter since, well, forever.
Right.
And
well, right, because the
girls just aren't big in the Giovannone family.
No, clearly not. And you have no idea what you're in for. You tried to tell me that you do. And
I think I do.
No, I don't. No,
yeah,
you don't.
I think I'll be spending
you.
A lot of time in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
A
yeah.
lot of time in a garage.
Yeah. You will not know what to do. The most, the cutest and sometimes just absolutely sexiest thing is a husband with his granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
For a woman. It is the grandpas and their granddaughters have an unbelievably different special bond. They just do.
Yeah, we'll
find out. And yeah, my husband is now, and I'm that way with the boys though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had, now see, I'm the opposite of Amy. I had all girls. I had Lisa,
right.
Katie, and then Julie, the granddaughter. So when Logan came along, he's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Nana's boy. He is mine. And he's 10 now. And then, of course, Dominic came along, so I was doubly happy. But now we have Ellie, who's 4, and you want to talk about you Papa's little apple of... Because Julie's now 16.
Wrapped around her little finger.
Right. So Julie, the oldest granddaughter, is now, for us, she's now 16. So she really has little to do with anybody but her friends and her phone.
Right.
So, you know, and she'll go through
priorities.
That phase, and that's fine. So now Ty has moved on to Ellie. And Ellie, first of all, never stops talking. Like, I thought that the other grandkids talked a lot. They are basically silent compared to Ellie. She is, I mean, just constantly. And so I am going to, the next time Ellie is here, because they live in Indianapolis, I am going to bring Ellie to your house. And after about an hour, you might have a 1% idea of what you're in for with the girls. But you are going to be... Both of you are just going to be completely off the rails
yeah.
with a granddaughter. It's going to be so
it's
much
be
fun.
Because I
so much fun.
We've never had a girl.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always been the boys.
Yeah.
And boys are easy.
Yeah. Well, boys are harder to keep alive, but they are less
really.
Dramatic.
Yeah, just toss it to the wind, just see what happens. They haven't killed any yet, so they're doing okay. We've crashed all three grandsons.
Mm-hmm. And my grandson.
And your grandson tried to drive a quad under a trailer. That was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah, that one quad's starting to look like Frankenstein a little bit. A lot of stitches in it. But yeah, there's been rollovers and crashes into trees and stuff like that. And, you know, they're boys. They bounce back. But yeah, it's
you know
going to be interesting.
She will, too. She'll be a little bit of a tomboy, for sure.
Oh, she'll have to be.
Except that her quad will be pink.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well,
and it'll be her own.
There may be, you know, the hand of grandma. Because I know I'm not going to get away with the stuff I do with the grandsons with her.
No.
Because Amy is, she'll be behind me with that 2x4.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or 4x4.
Probably a 4x4. 2x4s don't work very well.
Yeah.
Got a thick head.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Definitely her more than anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I honestly, she's going down to see her because they're at Fort Benning.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure she's going to be coming back with a kid.
Yeah. That's called kidnapping.
It is. It is. I don't think she'll care.
No. No. Or she just won't come back.
Well, that's a possibility, too.
Like, you told me her flight arrangements, and she was coming back, and I was like, are you sure she's coming? And
yeah.
He said, yeah, she'll probably tell you before me if she's not coming back. But, I it's going to be tough for her to come back. She'll be making regular trips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know what's good? Technology. You can FaceTime. And you can Skype, if you know, whatever. And that has really, I FaceTime with Katie down in Indianapolis, and Katie will hand Ellie the phone, and she'll say, here, take Nana. And it's actually the phone. And Ellie just walks around the house and shows me her room, blah, 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 you know,
well,
talks.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot more real.
Mm-hmm.
Talking on the phone is talking on the phone, but now with that, yeah.
You can see,
And you're keeping up with the visuals.
Yeah. It's a big deal. So it's an advancement. And I'll tell you what, later in life, my mom, when we, you know, during COVID, when we couldn't visit her so much, and then there at the end when she, you know, she just really couldn't go anywhere or do much, that was a lifesaver. It made her feel like she was still, you know, keeping connected with everybody, and even in spite of the distance. And so you'll find that it is a super, super personable and highly used tool that you guys will.
It's that face-to-face.
Yeah.
And it's not the same as face-to-face, but it's a lot better than talking on the phone or writing a letter. At least you have a visual.
Right.
Yeah. So.
You'll see those little smiles.
Yeah.
And
our world's about to change.
Oh, yeah.
It already has.
You just don't know.
Right.
It. Yeah.
No,
yeah. So
I
a
know.
Baby and a puppy. Wow.
Yes. The baby is far away for now. The puppy's pretty much in our face, literally.
Right. Oh, yeah. He seems really rambunctious. He's totally crashed out on the chair.
Control. Well, that's because he's wore out.
Yeah.
He's had a rough morning.
Yeah.
He had to go outside and fight with leaves and then fight with the other dogs. And
Yeah. Now, how are the other dogs doing?
Gunner doesn't seem to care.
Doesn't care.
No, but Gunner's hair's coming back, you know, because we shave him in the spring. He's a... like a shepherd collie mix, so he has very long, thick hair.
Yeah.
And Wolfgang thinks it's like a chew toy, so he chews on his tail and his legs. And
sounds about right.
Yeah, and Gunner is so laid back.
Gunner just looks at him like...
Yeah, he was like Vader. He just gets up and walks away.
Right.
Leave me alone.
Right. Now, what about the other dog?
They fight. Him and Stella play a lot.
Yeah, that's good.
And she's actually doing really well. She's jealous, but at the same time, she's very... I don't know, watchful over the puppy.
Yeah, good.
So we open a door, and they all three run outside and do their thing and play in the yard, and then they all come back in.
Right.
He just kind of fell right into place.
Right.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going
How cute.
Real well.
How cute. Very, very cute.
Yeah. For now. I can't wait till he gets bigger.
Well, he is just a little fluff ball.
He's a little bit small. Yeah.
He's 100% German Shepherd.
Correct.
Completely black, absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely
gorgeous.
He is. Gorgeous.
We got very fortunate that we found him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, congratulations on
Thanks.
Both, because I know you have been looking for the dog for a while, the right one and the right fit and the right timing and all of that. And then, of course.
Yeah, it just kind of happened.
Yeah. And then, of course, congratulate. Well, and everything happens for a reason. Like,
absolutely.
And so this was the right timing. And yeah. Now, how's Jackson? Jackson's not here this morning. Jackson's at church. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, we don't have an edition of Jackson's jokes, which he was very...
Not too happy about it, but he's got to get his church time in once
yeah.
in a while. So.
Yeah, he does. He needs Jesus already.
Yes, he does.
And then...
And we need to throttle him or pull him in once in a while because he got to hit two shows last week.
Yeah.
I have not heard the end of that.
Right, right. Well, yeah, he's a big deal.
They should have me on more often.
Yeah. He's a big deal. He's going to co-host the morning show pretty soon. How's Jackson doing with the new puppy? Does he kind of think it's his dog? Does he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I've made it very clear to him it's not.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So the first night I had him home, he's on my lap, and I'm petting him, and Jackson sits next to me and starts petting him, and I push Jackson away, like off the couch, push him away. He's like, hey, yes, I told you he's my dog. But he, I mean, kids and puppies.
I know.
He follows Jackson around all over the place.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, they get along very well.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is put him down. He's a dog. He knows how to walk. Quit carrying him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's going very well.
Yeah, I didn't put the puppy down either until...
No.
Yeah, we came in here.
None of you did.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, he's not here all the time, so I'm not worried about it.
That's what you're going to get because we don't put dogs down.
No, I noticed that.
You should see the Wet Nose Wednesday dogs we carry around here. The girls will carry around 80-pound dogs or sit down on the floor, and they'll come up and sit on their lap like lap dogs. And
well, we'll bring him back in a year.
Yeah.
See if anybody can pick him up.
There you go. Yeah, he's going to be big, but he's adorable. And so is the baby. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a really big deal. I can't wait to meet her too. I'm gonna be Aunt Nana.
Yeah, I'll be gone that week.
No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't be able to. My husband always said, I won't have anything to do with the babies until they're two. They're Nana's babies until they're two. And then we have more pictures of Ty in a recliner.
With the baby?
Napping with the babies or Ty holding the babies. Now, sometimes he's holding them with the, you know, way out in front of him with the look of, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with this kid. But most of the pictures are Papa being Papa and the kids are not, in fact, two years old yet.
Well, if I get it my way, once she's out of diapers, then... I'll be more involved.
Well, that's what he
I will
would
not
say.
Get it my way.
You will not.
No. Mm-mm. So.
No. No.
Yeah. No. How do you not love your grandkids?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'd skip right. If my mom used to always say, if I could have skipped the kids and gone straight to the grandkids, that would have been great. And I was always offended. Well, I was always offended. Like, why would you skip
me? Until you had grandkids.
Me? Yeah. And I was like, geez, yeah, I would skip me too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah, no, we got the toys and the fun stuff and, you know, the old pickup truck taking them for ice cream. It's it's so much fun. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I know.
Just add one more.
Yeah.
I may have to get a bigger truck.
Aw, I know. You'd be upset about that. A bigger truck.
Nah, we'll take the green one. I got the bigger truck.
That's
We're good.
You're good. You're good. If not, just hook a trailer onto it or
there
something.
There we go.
Start.
Yeah, that's not going to get me
What you're going to need is a sidecar for your motorcycle.
Wow. We could build one for the chopper. It'd have to be custom, though.
Uh-huh.
They have to go up to Rock County Cycles to get that done.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. See, I got all these things going in your mind.
It's only money.
Yeah. It's only money.
Fortunately, it grows on the tree in the backyard.
Listen, my husband at Christmas time will say, what's the budget for Christmas? And I'll be like, there's no budget.
Yeah, you'll find out on the next bill.
How much do you have? That's the budget. So anyway.
And a little bit more.
Anyway, so I said last week that we were going to talk to Tom Gardner this week.
Yes.
He was crazy with his schedule and so had to come in earlier in the week. And I talked to him and we're going to have that coming up next. We talked about the Brooks trial and some of the things that we can and can't expect and what Tom's thoughts were on, like I said, representing yourself and some stuff like that. And he
always
had
love
some
it
ideas.
When, always love it when he's in here. And
I know you were
really,
sorry to miss him.
Really wanted to be here for this one. But
it was like you were doing good for the community and teaching police officers or something last week. Pfft, whatever. God. Community service job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talking with Tom Gardner, that's coming up next right here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Tom Gardner with Gardner, Koch, Weisberg, and Rona joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you knew, I said last week, on the show, you had to come in this week because I am bursting with questions about the Daryl Brooks trial. And I know that you looked into it, you did some research on it, because you're in court all day, you don't have time to sit around and watch this kind of stuff all day. From what you saw with this trial, what was your first reaction when you started looking at some of the clips and things from this trial?
Well, it's a wild trial.
Yeah.
It's one of the most unique trials that I can recall.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly makes sense that there was a lot of press for this trial.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks certainly provided enough fodder for the news media to discuss this case.
It was crazy. You're right. It was live on Court TV. It was streamed live on all of the local apps for the TV channels, TMJ4, WISN, and everything. So we really did get a good insight into how Judge Doro handled this case. My opinion is she is a judicial superhero. I don't think that there was a more patient or detail-oriented judge that could have possibly taken this case on. She left no stone unturned and no record unrecorded because of knowing that, you know, obviously he's going to appeal. Going forward, when he does appeal, since he waived his right to an attorney during the regular trial, can he now go back and say, oh, I want to file an appeal and I want my public defender back?
I think the answer is yes.
Ugh.
I don't know that for sure because I don't remember seeing a case quite like this one.
Right, right.
But generally, there's a right to an appeal. And if you're someone without means, then you have the right to have one provided to you.
Right.
So the appellate defender type office would be someone that would have the duty to represent him and provide a defense.
And I asked you before we went on the air, who in their right mind would take this case? But that's not how it happened. Like, people don't get to, they don't get a choice, do they?
They don't get a choice, but I think you're actually wrong about this.
You think?
Yes, because I think some lawyers would look at this and say, this is the biggest challenge of my career.
True.
How am I going to defend this? What arguments are there? It's a high-profile case.
Right.
It's kind of fun to be able to say, well, I gave it a try for mm-hmm. Brooks. I had this novel theory. I think any case with profile is a case that lawyers take an interest in. And the chance to do it, you know, it could be a highlight of someone's career, even if they end up losing the appeal.
Right, right. Well, and in this case, you have to, it's really even when they lose the appeal. I mean, this was so, they didn't even bring in all of the victims and evidence. They didn't have to. Because there were so many victims, hundreds of victims, ultimately. They only brought in the victims who were actually physically hurt and needed treatment, as well as those who passed away due to the injuries that they received. They didn't even talk about all of the kids that, you know, emotionally scarred forever, and all of the other claims, you know, even civil claimants that could be found in this case. Why would somebody with all of this evidence stacked up against them say something to the judge like, the fact that I'm up against decades worth of legal expertise does not make me flinch one bit, and I'm going to represent myself? Who in there? Why would you do that?
I don't know why you would do that.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's a rational decision.
No.
It's extremely difficult to represent yourself. Just for that matter, it could be a lawyer with 1 year of experience, and it would be very hard. You have to be able to research the law, determine the differences, know the kind of the history of the law behind it, the statutes, think about the defenses, decide mm-hmm. what arguments are worth making and which ones aren't, how you impact your credibility before the jury or not. So I'm not sure that it was a rational decision that he made.
One of the things that he kept bringing up when the jury would walk in or when the jury would leave and before any kind of argument or questioning or production of evidence, anything, Daryl Brooks would say to the judge, you have not proven subject matter jurisdiction. Can you explain to us where he was trying to go with that?
I can't tell you where he was trying to go with it, but the idea is that subject matter jurisdiction is the jurisdiction for that court to handle that case.
Right.
So sometimes that can come up. You could say, for instance, that like a patent case has to be handled in certain courts.
Okay.
Or a federal claim case has to be handled in federal courts. Or a murder case has to be handled in state court with certain exceptions.
Right.
So there can be subject matter jurisdiction claims, and those claims aren't waived. You know, they're the kind of claims that a court can look at, even an appellate court could look at and say, there's no subject matter jurisdiction. That trial doesn't count.
Okay.
But a criminal case before a court that's a local court, the argument makes no sense.
Right. And I mean, over and over, every single time, every single day, and would talk over the jury and over the jury coming and going. And you know, they'd have to say disregard. Well, although once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you know, it's not like the jury can forget that. Although, again, this was a pretty obvious case. And I mean, I have no idea what could have possibly come up where the jury would have had any kind of reasonable doubt that this guy did not commit these crimes. And so you're right. I mean, I hear that it was probably just to create some kind of doubt, even though it was really completely off the planet and never really something that was going to apply to this case anyway.
Well, subject matter jurisdiction isn't something for the jury to decide.
Anyway, right.
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 It's a judge's decision.
Right. And he kept asking her that, too. Is that a judicial decision? Are you making it a judicial decision on this case? What bearing was he trying to leverage there?
I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, of course, she's the judge. She's going to make decisions with regard to managing the case. I mean, that's her job. And so then he objected to absolutely everything. And before, or he would say objection grounds, before she would say sustained or denied or whatever her reaction would be, wanting grounds for whatever her response was going to be. And it was just over and over and over and over again. Can you imagine any attorney behaving that way in a court and getting themselves all the way through the trial without a contempt charge?
I actually cannot.
I mean, no.
You're right. It would be so foolish to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, you can ask a judge for her grounds.
Sure.
But you're going to do that very politely. You're not going to do it on every occasion. You know the rules of evidence. So there are rulings that are made and you just accept the ruling.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about it. You might try to revisit something later with a different witness or whatever, or a different argument, or facts change during the course of the trial. Maybe you can re-raise something. You want to make your record, but to approach things that way is crazy.
He would also say that every time somebody called him Mr. Brooks, he would say that he objected to being called that he did not identify to that name.
Well, I don't know what to make of that.
I know.
I mean, these are just my opinions on the case, but I don't know what to make of someone not wanting to be called Mr. Brooks when his last name is Brooks.
Right. It just, none of it made any sense. None of what he was doing was making any sense. But he made enough, what do I want to say, logical objections and arguments where he had done his research in his jail cell or in his common area where he had access to what he needed. He made enough of those arguments that were intelligent and processed that there's no possible way insanity is ever going to be brought into this case. And at this point, can it be like on appeal?
Any issue that's preserved could be still presented on appeal, but I'm not sure it's preserved.
Yeah.
Because normally what would happen is you'd have the defendant would be examined. There'd be an opinion. There might be a hearing as to his capacity to understand things, etc. And then the judge might make a decision. Well, you could appeal that because you could say, well, the judge made the wrong decision. This person was incapable of understanding the charges against him. Here, I don't think there's that issue. Now, So if you look at some of the tactics, if that's what they were, mm-hmm. like Brooks taking off his shirt and not having his shirt on during part of the proceedings,
right.
I mean, sometimes you could say, well, that's an indicia of what his mindset was at the time. But he's able to respond to the judge. He's able to make his arguments. They may be misplaced arguments because he's a layperson, not a lawyer.
Right.
But I agree with you. I don't think that it's a good argument to say that he lacked capacity to be tried in this case.
Yeah, he made too many good arguments and sustained objections that he had enough capacity to do that often enough. I don't think they're going to be able to go down that road. The other thing he did was, or his defense was shut down due to his conduct. He was not able to bring forth more evidence or interview any more witnesses that he had called to the stand. The judge asked him 10 times, 10 separate times on the record, "Sir, do you have any more witnesses? And would you like to testify on your own behalf?" And he did not respond. He stared down at papers. He was reading his Bible. He refused to respond to her. She asked him 10 times. Now, that being said, will that affect an appeal? Will they come back and say he did not get an adequate defense? Which, of course, he didn't because he was defending himself. But will that play into it, given that she declared his defense closed because of his conduct?
I don't think so, because she's made a very good record in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed a lot of patience in making those requests of him. So what the judge did in this case is unusual. You know, he was in a different room for part of it. Then he'd have the chance to come back. Then he'd go back to the different room,
right,
because of his conduct. The appellate courts recognize that trial court judges need to control their courtroom and need to deal with the procedures there and deal with defendants.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that this is an appellate issue.
I see it as a big fat waste of taxpayers' money when it does go back because, again, the evidence was so strong in the first place. He claims that his former attorneys that he fired didn't tell him about an appeal that was, or a plea bargain that was offered to him, that they didn't pass along all of the information. Yet he was able to, again, intelligently and coherently ask, like, question witnesses. You know, he did enter some evidence in. He was able to comprehend the rules and the protocol that she set forth and told him that he had to follow in order to do those things. He was able to comprehend all of that stuff until it was inconvenient. And then it was, "I don't have access. I can't do this. I can't do that," which the only response could have been was, "Well, if you wouldn't have fired your attorneys, you would have had all of these luxuries that normal defendants get. You decided that those were not important to you. You wanted to do this yourself, so you sacrificed." And that's the bottom line. So since he so strongly said, "I don't care if I'm up against decades of experience, it doesn't make me flinch one bit," is he going to be able to come back and say he had a lack of defense?
I don't think so. Not in these facts, not with this record.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can make the claim, but I don't see the appellate court buying it.
Now, does the appellate court even have to take this up?
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody has a right to appeal.
Okay.
The Supreme Court doesn't have to take cases, but the appellate court does.
Okay. So we'll see him again.
Yes.
He'll appeal. And how long does that take? Does that depend? I mean, sentencing's kind of come up, and you know, but how long does an appeals take like
it,
that?
It depends quite a bit, actually. There's a big variety. You could have a response to an appeal in 3 months, you could have a response to an appeal in 18 months, 24 months. You know, during COVID, we had a case that in the appellate court, there was quite a bit of delay, over a year's delay there. I argued in the Wisconsin Supreme Court about 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a decision yet on that case. I'm not that surprised. You would expect it would take a period of months. It wouldn't be 3 years, but it, could it be up? Could it be a year? Could definitely be a year.
Right. I mean, it kind of seems like to me, it's a whenever they get around to it, because he's going to serve six consecutive life sentences right off the bat, and that's just on the intentional homicide charges. That doesn't include the 60 some other charges that were brought against him for, you know, the for the people that were injured and did not in fact pass away. So what would be their hurry to even hear it at this point?
Well, it's a media case still.
Yeah,
they may give it priority just because it's something that the public wants to know about. And I can imagine that appellate court justices are looking at it saying we should attend to this just so that there's some finality to this case
and some closure for the families too.
Yeah.
That helps, right?
Yeah, and I would think that compared to like contract cases that are up on appeal, this case is going to have a wider array of interest in the public.
Of course, of course. Have you ever had a case like this? Have you ever had, like, did you, you were a public defender? No? Did
no,
you?
I was a state's attorney in Cook County.
Okay.
Right.
So, but have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I haven't. I've never had a case like this because I've never had a case where somebody was pro se.
Okay.
I only had cases with represented parties. But this is a truly unusual case, a horrific situation for all the victims here. So I haven't seen something like this. You know, one, if you look back in terms of the activities of defendants in cases and how they were handled, and this I know not because I followed this at the time, but because I've read about this trial, the Chicago 7 or the Chicago 8 trial that occurred back in probably early 70s. There's been a lot written about that case. Julius Hoffman was the judge in that case.
Okay.
And a lot of the appeal dealt with how Hoffman dealt with the defendants. So this was Jerry Rubin and the whole Democratic Convention in 1968.
Right.
And there, Judge Hoffman did not do a good job dealing with the antics of the Chicago 7. And those, the actions of those defendants were kind of designed for the press and for conveying their political agendas.
Sure.
But the judge did not handle things well in that case. And it I believe, resulted in some reversals or retrials, things like that. In this case, you don't have that with this judge.
Mm-mm, not at all. She brought up Illinois versus Allen a lot. Are you familiar with that? It had to do with conduct and what they could and could not do and what choices she had in dealing with him, whether it was, again, moving him to another room. It outlined the choices. Mm-hmm. He kept arguing that moving him to another room was not one of the choices, that she made that up. But it also, that case did not limit what she could do. It just gave, you know, examples of what had been done. I think, like you said, she went over the top to protect his credibility from the jury, to make sure that he had as little as possible to bring up in an appeal as far as, like you said, her controlling the courtroom, but yet, you know, still being aware that he has the right to a fair trial. I don't think she could have done any more. And again, I can't imagine a more patient. This woman should win. If she ever gets the opportunity to be appointed to the Supreme Court, I hope she gets it, because that woman has the patience and the forward thinking about how to protect all parties, but yet be sympathetic and compassionate for everybody. She had to be very careful not to allow him to re-victimize the victims, but yet allow him to put on his self-defense that he's entitled to. So, but it was such a learning experience to be able to watch it. I don't think we will ever see another trial like that in our lifetime with somebody representing themselves. Do you ever, 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 in any case really, recommend somebody representing themselves?
No, I don't recommend that in any case. I don't recommend that in any transaction.
Mm-hmm.
What we end up having is clients come to us who have done things themselves,
mm-hmm.
thinking it was simple or the other party was a friend, and all the contingencies aren't covered. Things aren't spelled out accurately. There's gray all over the place, mm-hmm. and it's not clear. The intent of one party is not the interpretation of the other party. For lawsuits, I can't imagine someone representing themselves. It makes no sense.
And like you said, even transactional, like real estate. Okay, well, we bought the house from, you know, from our cousin, and so we were just kind of doing a more casual agreement, but then you find out the house has mold or whatever. I mean, you're just opening up a can of worms that you don't even know if it's actually worms inside the can.
Yes, and around Geneva Lake, there are all sorts of issues that mm-hmm. come up relating to real estate that where people are just saying, well, I'll just close this deal and I'll own this house.
Right. And that's never the way it Murphy's Law, right? That's the
that's
law.
That's often the law, yes.
So one other thing I just wanted to mention. I know we have a new feature coming up with you and Mike Mason starting next week. It's called Real Life Law with Tom Gardner and GKWW Law, where you're going to talk about real life instances and what people need to know about even big things, little things. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have a friend who was the former president of the Illinois State Medical Society.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Alan Roman. He used to do the Medical Minute for WBBM Radio.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me that that was really a good service for people because they got to hear about different ailments and what the treatment was and what to be worried about, et cetera. Well, the same thing really applies to other professions, including law. So I thought on some of these topics, we can deal with kind of the down-to-earth facts involving mm-hmm. some of these topic areas, and it'll be educational for people. I think it should be interesting. Mm-hmm. It should be fun.
Yep. So we're looking forward to that. It's called Real Life Law. You're going to join Mike Mason during his show around 5 o'clock, a little after 5 o'clock every day. And we're looking forward to that starting next week. I think it'll be a great help to the community.
Great. It's awesome. Looking forward to it, too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on and talking about Daryl Brooks with me. Again, I don't think any of us will ever see a trial like that in our lifetimes where the antics and the judges, very, very well-controlled courtroom, the patience even of the prosecutor, Sue Opper, and her team up there in Waukesha County, oh my gosh, they had the utmost, and not only did they have the utmost patience with the proceedings, but they actually helped him with some of his evidence. Everybody worked very, very hard to make everything go as smoothly and as correctly as possible to protect all involved, including the defendant. And I think it was just a great example of how our judicial system works. And we'll see what happens on appeal and if it even gets anywhere. So, but thanks for talking about it with me. You knew I was going to be all over that.
I did.
Oh, anyway, Tom Gardner with GKWW Law. If you have any questions, just look up gkwwlaw.com. Give them a call here at their office in Lake Geneva, and they will help you with whatever legal issue you have. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the show right here on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Yeah, Tom had some interesting opinions on that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and
I guess
it's not often that we agree, but mm-hmm. yeah, it's kind of hard to argue with him.
My biggest question was, though, can Brooks, on appeal, ask for the public defender to come back? And yes, he can. We'll see if he does, because I guess at the sentencing meeting last week, he was already coming back with arguing with the judge, and she hasn't proven subject matter jurisdiction, and blah, 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 blah. And so he's, you know, I didn't get to present it. Whatever he said, I didn't watch the
grasping at straws. He's falling. He knows it. And he's
reaching
for a lifeline.
He's done. Yeah. So, so that'll be interesting to see. The sentencing is coming up, I think, on the 15th, 16th of November. And then, of course, you know, I mean, there's no question of what sentence he's going to get. And then we'll watch to see what happens on appeal. But
yeah, I have very little faith. Well, I have no doubt he's going to be. There has been so much negative in our judicial system and our politics and everything else.
I don't think
the no-brainers, and it's a guarantee. I just don't buy it at all anymore.
I don't think this one's going to fail that test.
I disagree with you, but I don't trust it. I have a lot of respect for that judge.
Mm-hmm.
God, she did a phenomenal job, and I couldn't have done what she did. I would have lost my temper.
Well, and that was one of the things that Tom said. An appeal is going to be very difficult to get through ultimately because she did make the record in every single detail, every single issue he brought up, every single time he, you know, tried to claim this or claim that.
Yeah,
and
she
so,
covered the bases.
Yeah, she certainly, certainly did. And it is her obligation and her responsibility to keep control of that courtroom. And that's what she was doing, but yet gave him very ample opportunity to adequately represent himself and, right. and gave him, and even the state helped him at times. So, I mean, he gets an appeal no matter what, and
sure.
he will and because he
should
will.
Have the opportunities that anybody else would have. I don't have a problem with that. I just,
I
hope it goes the way that you
yeah.
think it will, 100%.
Yeah.
I just, I'm not holding my breath.
Well, I think it will. But
I hope you're
anyway,
right.
we've got some stuff coming up this week. Number one, Tuesday is a big day, but talk about today. We've got a pizza party.
We have a pizza
afternoon.
Party at someplace else in Elkhorn
mm-hmm.
for the Fraternal Order of Police.
Awesome.
And we got a lot of really good pizza. We got guys from the lodge in there that are going to be doing all the cooking. And
cool.
I'm hoping to get behind the bar. We'll see.
Yeah.
I kind of made it last year, but I got a lot of dirty looks.
Oh.
But there's going to be raffle prizes and stuff like that. So it's a good time. They're going to have the Packer Lion game on if you're interested.
Sweet.
Yeah. So... Yeah, come
What's
on down.
What's up with the Packers, by the way?
I don't know.
What is happening?
Well,
are they going to beat the Lions? I mean, don't the Lions, aren't they really bad?
Honest to God, I don't. Green Bay is hurting. They got problems.
They are.
They got problems.
You think it's an attitude problem or a...
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot.
Okay.
And I don't know enough to point a finger at anybody. Rodgers takes a lot of blame, but I don't. It's not all his fault,
right.
you know? It's just, it's one of those years. And we have been spoiled rotten.
Well, I think that's the problem.
For a long,
right.
long time.
Right.
And I, as much as I hate it, I think maybe we deserve the slap in the face.
Yeah.
Because
everybody back to
yeah.
reality.
Yeah. We've been on top for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
I think
nothing lasts forever.
I think that was exactly right. We're spoiled.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You're going to have a bad year.
We have had a contender since 1992.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is.
So,
that's 30 years,
yeah.
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. We can't. Well, we will complain because we're Packer fans.
Well, of course.
We're football fans.
Hello?
I shouldn't say Packer fans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no. We'll see what happens.
I know.
They can turn it around this week. I think they have the talent. We'll see.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Well, I mean, the Lions, aren't they historically bad?
Yeah, but they're historically good against Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
They always, almost always give us a good game.
Okay.
So, and we're going to their stadium, which there's been some crazy games
yeah.
there. We've won some crazy games. We've lost some crazy games. So,
okay.
We'll see what happens.
Well, so it's going to be an exciting day. Someplace
it should
else,
be, yeah.
pizza party, fundraiser.
It'll be a lot of fun.
For the FOP and the Packer Lions right. game, all kinds of stuff going
Sister
on.
Washer has put together a awesome array of raffle prizes.
Of course she has.
Yeah, she always does.
Hello.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be fun. Come
what
on down.
Does it
have
start?
Something to eat. Starts at 11 o'clock. We
11.
Go till
okay.
4.
Okay.
As far as the free food.
Sure.
Or, well, not free. It's a $10 ticket.
Right.
And you can buy those at the door. So that's not a problem.
And
but, yeah, that ends at like 4.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
all
but
right.
come in to have a couple cocktails, eat some
yeah.
food, watch some football. Hit some silent auctions, buy some tickets.
Well, it is the
go
season.
Go home with prizes.
You know, you always, I like silent auctions around this time of the year because I do use some of the stuff for Christmas presents or stocking
oh,
stuffers
sure.
or whatever. So
yeah.
we can talk about the C word now because it's after Halloween.
And Jackson's not here.
And Jackson's not here.
Because he still thinks it's got to be after Thanksgiving, and he may get that from his father and his grandfather.
I don't disagree with him.
Yeah.
I was none too pleased at having to buy Halloween candy across the aisle from the Christmas ornaments.
I'm not having it.
I don't disagree with them. I really don't.
Yeah, I walked into Fleet Farm and it's like, are you kidding me already?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't put my Christmas tree up until like Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. I don't. You know, like after
yeah.
Thanksgiving. Because
yeah.
I'm not a big Black Friday kind of shopping
no,
person.
Oh, God, no.
Especially since COVID.
I worked Black Fridays. No, thank you.
Right, no. And I don't need to, you know, I remember moms fighting over Cabbage
mm-hmm.
Patch dolls and Teddy Ruxpin. And I mm-hmm. vowed at that point that I would not, this nothing is worth it. No sale is worth.
No. Amy's getting the big into Christmas shopper.
Yeah, no.
I'm the stocking guy. I buy the crap that goes in the stocking.
There you go. You know. My husband does that. $5 gifts. That's what he likes. $5. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
So,
and now we're getting a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. I said the B word, the like budget word, goes out the window. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no budget.
Right.
What's your checking account balance? That's my budget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not my
checking. And when do we get paid next? Okay.
Yeah, I know.
That'll work too.
I know, right? So anyway, all right.
Come on down and get some pizza.
Yes, someplace else in Elkhorn, 11 to 4.
Correct.
Head out there, watch the game, get some pizza. In the meantime, another reason to get off the couch.
A bigger reason.
Bigger reason to get off the couch. Tuesday is election day. You must vote.
You must.
You must think about why you're voting and what direction you want this country to go. 71% of the people who have been polled in this country about whether or not they agree we are headed in the right direction do not, in fact, believe that we are headed in the right direction.
I am 100% on board with that.
Yeah.
I am scared for the future of this country.
And you can't say one word about it, no matter who you vote for, if you, in fact, do not vote because you have not done your civic duty and you have not helped protect our country. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you may completely disagree with Tom and I on where you stand and who you vote for, but you still have to go do it because not voting is a choice as well. If you don't vote, you have still voted.
Yeah.
Because
for the wrong guy.
Right, because you are not canceling out somebody else's vote. So you have got to get off the couch. You have got to ignore these ads when you hear them and your instinct inside is screaming at you, that's probably not true.
I bet you 90% of the stuff we're seeing on TV is a bunch of crap.
Right. Like, I find it very hard to believe that Tim Michaels and his company have succeeded in the manner that they have and with the had the success that they have had while they've pressured women into having sex.
Yes.
I find that very hard to believe. You have to remember that. And I didn't look it up. I don't know. I'm following my instincts here.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your gut. I find it very hard to believe that is true. I do not, on the other hand, find it hard to believe that Mandela Barnes has not paid his taxes.
Or his push for this cashless bail, which...
Right.
I mean, that's what gave us the Waukesha Parade.
Right. Look at what's getting ready to happen in Illinois. That is, hands down, 100% going to affect those of us that live around here near this Illinois-Wisconsin border.
Absolutely.
And something like 101 prosecutors in the other counties in Illinois are 100% against that new law that will go into effect January 1st of 2023 in Illinois. Really, they were trying to address, or they really wanted it for Cook County only, which is Chicago,
mm-hmm.
basically. But it's going to be implemented across the state against the wishes of every single other county's prosecutors and district attorneys.
They are going to destroy that state.
They are going to destroy that state, and it is going to, they already have.
Yeah.
And it's going to bleed over.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
We can't have that. Halloween, 14 people, including 2 children, were shot.
Yeah.
On Halloween night. There was a mass shooting on Halloween. And Lori Lightfoot wants to take guns off the street. That is not the problem.
No,
the problem
it's not.
Is that they don't, nobody's being held accountable for anything.
Correct.
They're not afraid to go to jail.
If it's not a gun, it's a knife. If it's not a knife, it's, I don't know, a car.
Right.
I mean, if you want to devastate people, it's easy to do.
Yes.
You just got to use your imagination.
Yes. And the other thing is that I find it hard to believe that Ron Johnson has tried to pass legislation that will result in prosecuting doctors and mothers for seeking medical care whether it's in the form of an abortion or whatever else you want to label terminating a pregnancy after for what I would call just cause, which would be rape, incest, medical emergency, something like that. I find it very hard to believe that his comment was, if you don't like it, move.
Right.
Okay. But I also find it hard to believe some of the conservative things that have been said. There are some conservative commercials as well that my gut instinct is that that's not accurate.
Correct.
As well. I'm not, you know, it's on both sides. It is
absolutely
on both sides. And until this country can get back to running on your record or running on and campaigning on your accomplishments or your experience and not campaigning on, you know,
mudslinging.
Yeah. This is how it's going to be.
Right.
And it's disgusting and it's nauseating. We are all sick of hearing it, and it is degrading the programming of the radio station. You know, you have great jocks and you have great music and you have great commercials that inform the public and that help brand our small businesses, and we've got all these great things going on, and then you've got these 30 and 60 second spots.
Hatred sections.
That are just like, we're sick of it.
Yeah.
We're just sick of it. And so, you know, I don't know. I have never talked about it more than I have with my staff this season. You know, this has got, this mudslinging on both sides has got to stop.
Yeah.
It does not stop. It does not.
It's turned a divided country even more divided.
Yes.
More hatred.
Yes.
You know, it's a cesspool.
Right.
And
but in the meantime, But in the meantime, we have a lot of ads that are pushing what people believe to be the top of mind issues, which people think, or some people think, that abortion is a top of mind issue. That is not a top of mind issue right now. It's in the top 10, but you've got crime. You've got the economy, you've got food and gas prices, you've got, you know, still health insurance and health care, because now the economy and
worse.
All of this is affected, you know. And so those are the things that are going to be voted on in the polls, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
But we have got to turn this country around. We have got to vote for people with ideals that are going to put America first. We cannot take care of other countries and their issues and help them if we can't help ourselves first. And we are not healthy as a country.
No, we're not.
Nope.
Not
and
at all.
We have got to get back to where that is. So vote for the people who don't vote, whether you like them or not, because there's a lot of people I don't like.
Contest.
This is not. That's exactly right. You vote for what the ideals are and the goals are of these people, and putting control back in the hands of we the people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And listening to us and doing what and representing what we want to happen is what we need to be voting for right now. But whatever you do, don't sit back and watch. Do not sit back and watch, because not making a decision is making a decision.
Yep, that's
hands
two votes
down.
For the other guy.
Right. Anyway, that's your lecture for today.
Well, very well stated. It was necessary, because we need to fix it.
We do. We need
and
to fix
it.
We
very,
can't
very
afford
broken.
Not to.
No.
Yep. We can't
people
afford this.
People are getting killed because of the crime issues. And, you know, the country runs on petroleum. We don't like to say it, but it's a fact.
Right.
And our prices are outrageous because we're dependent on, you know, oil from our enemies when we can get it ourselves.
Right. We have got to become
open that pipeline
independent
up.
In every aspect.
Absolutely.
Every aspect. Manufacturing, fuel,
and we
all
can
of
do it. We can
Absolutely.
Do all of it. We've proven that.
Right.
Then let's just get back to work.
Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm in.
That's Life Matters for this week. We'll see you again next week. Heidi's up with more music right here on Lake 96.1.